Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to What's Eric Eating? Culture Map's bi-weekly look at all things Houston bars and restaurants. I'm your host, Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is the Tuesday show where we talk about some news in the restaurant world as well as a meal at a new restaurant that I think you'll want to learn more about. To do that, I am joined by a new co-host this week. She is the staff writer for TheInfatuation.com. Chelsea Thomas, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you doing, Eric?
I'm doing well. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, I'm super excited. This is awesome.
I should say I've known you for a long time, long before you were part of The Infatuation. You worked at
Yes.
a whole bunch of restaurants, Uchi, Bernadine's, which is the closure of Bernadine still hurts my soul a little bit. It was one of my absolute favorite restaurants.
Same, but I'm glad. But we have Winnie's now, which is Graham's new restaurant. So thankful for that.
That's true. And then you were at Nancy's Hustle for a long time, which of course is a restaurant that I adore. So
yes,
you have serious industry chops to go along with your job at The Infatuation. So let me just ask you, we'll before we dive into the news of the week, mm-hmm. What is The Infatuation for anyone who maybe hasn't had a chance to read it yet?
So The Infatuation is a food writing and restaurant review website. We sort of aim to bring you expert recommendations from locals in your city for any situation, any dining dilemma that you have. So we visit the writers specifically at The Infatuation visit probably anywhere from 5 to 10 restaurants a week. We pay for all of our own meals. We try to dine anonymously, and we're sort of just doing research into different cuisines, different neighborhoods, checking everything out, trying to give you an honest criticism viewpoint or praise of restaurants around you so you can kind of figure out where to eat on a daily basis.
Yeah, and it's all like very well organized. It's broken down by different neighborhoods or different cuisines or different occasions. So everything
exactly.
From where to eat the best barbecue to where to take your third-rate friend.
Yes, so we try to do some basic coverage in terms of, you know, the best of this kind of cuisine. So we have barbecue, Chinese, we're working on Indian food. We also do Thai food, Vietnamese, banh mi. So really diving into all those little granular details of what, you know, cuisines you could be interested in. And then we'll also break that down by neighborhood, specifically sort of in the Houston area. We'd love to stretch out into the greater Houston area, but we're sort of focused in the city right now. So Montrose, the Heights, Spring Branch, different neighborhoods around town, and then try to break it down into what you might be wanting to go out for. Like maybe you do have a third-rate friend. It's someone from work that you kind of know that maybe you want to get to know better and you're not sure where to take them, or maybe where to take your parents or a bar for a first date, anything like that. So yeah, the website, which for Houston is theinfatuation.com/Houston. Has all of that broken down, as well as our app, which has that too. And then here in Houston, we do have an Instagram that you can follow. So Instagram.com, it's infatuation_Houston. And then we also write a newsletter as well. And that just kind of helps people find information on the website, but we also have a little bit of fun in there and get a little cheeky. So the newsletter is a great way to get to know us too.
Yeah. And then just the one thing that you said that I just want to emphasize is that you pay for all your own food.
Yes.
Which, you know, you're owned by Chase. So thank you. Thank you, Business Daddy, for funding this project and the dinner that we're going to talk about in a few minutes. But that's important, I think, in an age of of influencers and hosted this and all that. It's there's a real integrity to that.
Yeah, it's really nice to be outside of the PR chaos of it all, and be able to go in with a really, I don't know, almost a seemingly anonymous ability to just check out a restaurant, feel like a regular diner, pay for everything that we order. We aren't influenced by, you know, who might be doing marketing, who might not be doing marketing. So it's nice to be able to just feel like a, you know, regular diner going for a meal and, you know, ordering probably twice as much food, but that's a way we can try everything.
Absolutely. All right. Let's dive into the news of the week. Topic number one, the folks behind Dallas's XOXO Dining Room have opened Postscript, a new fine dining restaurant in Upper Kirby. It's called the Shops That Arrive. They took over the old Del Frisco's Grill Space.
Yes.
Right across the street from Pondicherry. For the purposes of our conversation, I'm describing it as a very pink interior and a menu by Brian Caswell, who has been on the show in various roles in the past, but he was obviously very well known for Reef, his Gulf Coast seafood restaurant, and the kind of the mid-aughts into the 20-teens. He had El Real Tex-Mex. He had Little Bigs, a slider thing. He had Stella Sola, an Italian restaurant. But Chelsea, I say all that to say to you, like, knowing these kind of facts about Postscript, I know you haven't had a chance to eat there yet, but what are your kind of expectations for Postscript?
I think my expectations for Postscript is that it's just going to be a fun place to be silly and extravagant. It is extremely pink. And I don't know if anyone would describe me as a whimsical person, but I can get into some pink interiors every now and then. So I'm kind of excited to see what the fun is going to be there. I know they have that push for champagne button. So I think that it's a little tongue in cheek maybe, which I can get into. And I like Brian Caswell's food. I dined at Reef a number of times, and I know that he's been sort of off consulting for about 5 years or so. So I'm looking forward to him returning to the kitchen and seeing what he's going to do, if he's going to bring some of that Gulf Coast food back. But I know that looking at the menu, it's pretty beef heavy, got the smoked pork chop on there. So it feels like someone came into Del Frisco's and like did like a little Barbie makeover, which is great.
Yeah, I think for me, right, Brian's menu is the big draw. Like you said, he's been kind of laying low since Reef closed in 2019. He's been consulting. This really does mark his return. Now he's consulting here too, but he's actually in the kitchen. And when I spoke to him last week for a Culture Map article, I said, well, how long? And he said, I don't want to put a time limit on it. He was a little bit cagey. And I think he's going to be here. I think he's going to be in there for at least the next several months. Like, I don't know exactly. I don't know what his future plans are, but he's got a good crew in there with him. You know, J.D. Woodward, who ran 1751 CN Bar and worked for him like way back in the day. And then the GM is Stephen Ripley, who ran Monkey Tail for a long time, like was at Helen for a number of years, is like opened the Jonathan's the Rub out on Memorial Drive. Like Stephen's a veteran guy. So, and Jeb Stewart, who was the sommelier and GM at Cultivare for a number of years. So it's a solid crew. And talk about sort of my expectations. It's like, okay, if those people are all involved with this, then I have to take the food seriously, right? This is not just some like fly-by-night Instagram thing that's going to be here and gone in a year or two, you know. And I'm not going to name names about another restaurant on Kirby down the street that's a rhymes with I don't know, seven, right? That I feel like is maybe not sort of built to last. This seems like a real commitment from this Dallas-based restaurant group to do something kind of permanent in Houston.
Yeah, I mean, I try not to wade too much into the who's who of it all, just because I want to keep a little bit of my opinion, I won't say it totally objective, a little more objective when I go in and dine for the first time. But it is nice to see that there's a real effort to make the food exciting, because I know that I've been to quite a few of these open and shutter quickly clubstaurant places, which can be pretty fun, but you know, the food is definitely not, it's not winning any awards, but the vibe is always great, or at least extremely interesting. So yeah, I'm looking forward to going and trying it and wearing something fun, because I know they have that kind of, they have that dress code there, which normally I'm not super into dress codes at restaurants because it feels a little, you know, a little too stuffy, but I can understand why they have one here, because you're sort of, it's like almost you're going to like a tea party, but they have a tomahawk ribeye there.
Yeah, they're trying to create an experience. And I think people will, regardless of like what's on the website about the dress code, I think people will naturally want to dress up just because the room kind of lends itself to that kind of sense of occasion.
Yes. Yeah, it definitely has a sense of occasion when you have giant butterflies all around the outside of the restaurant. You know you're stepping into something interesting.
Absolutely. All right, let's move on to topic number two. The team behind MF Sushi has opened MF Lobster and Ceviche in Autry Park. That is the mixed-use development on Allen Parkway where Annabelle Brasserie and Auden have opened. The menu features, as a kind of borderline Gen Xer, this is where I want to make the Forrest Gump reference. you got steamed lobster, you got brown butter lobster bao, you got lobster roll, you got lobster bisque, lobster pasta, lobster tacos. I hadn't really thought about it. You can do a lot with lobster.
You can barbecue it, boil it, broil it, bake it, saute it, pan fry, deep fry, stir fry.
You can do so many different things with lobster, and they are doing all of them.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, someone here really likes lobster, which, you know, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't like lobster? Or, no, you know, other than, I guess, people who have a shellfish allergy or keep kosher.
Yeah, well, at least if you have a shellfish allergy, you'll know that you can't go here pretty automatically. There won't be any question about that.
Yeah, there's ceviche with salmon, tuna, but like it won't be fun. I mean, you know, you'll have three ceviches and everybody else is crushing lobster rolls and you'll just feel left out.
Yeah, I think of lobster as pretty extravagant. I guess that's maybe not necessarily true anymore, considering there are now restaurants completely dedicated to lobster, it seems. But I always think of the like, oh, we're adding on a lobster tail with our dinner. You know, it's very shishi, but I'm really excited for this. I love MF Sushi. It's one of our highest rated sushi restaurants on the Infatuation website. I think we have it at an 8.5, mostly for the amazing omakase at MF. So I know that based on how incredible the omakase is there and how much attention to detail they have at the food at MF, I'm sure it's going to be equal here. So I'm looking forward to trying this place. And I've had quite a few lobster dishes at MF. It's always been incredible. So I have no doubt that this is going to be just as fun. So I can't wait to go. Honestly, I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, the only other thing to bring up is the building is completely round. And that's a big part of their, like in the press release with the details about the design, it's a completely round restaurant. I don't know what the benefits of a completely round restaurant versus a rectangular restaurant are, but I feel like if I didn't at least bring that up, I would be doing everyone a disservice. So I don't know. Do you have an opinion on round restaurants?
Do I have an opinion? Round restaurants, like are the tables all going to be round? Like, are we really going round with it? You know what I mean? Like, tables are round, the bar is round, the art is round. Like, I'm really hoping it's just like as deep as they've crushed themselves into this lobster thing. Like, are we going to go full bore with the round? Cause I would be super into that.
Is the only song on the soundtrack Round and Round? I mean, like how far down the rabbit hole are we going?
It's just You Spin Me Right Round, like on a loop.
Nice. That's a good poll that I wish I had thought of. All right. That seems like a good excuse to move on to topic number three. The Tipping Point Coffee, which had been located downtown for a number of years, is moving to Montrose, where they will occupy, they will be in concert with 93 Till, the record bar and restaurant next to the Manil. David Rodriguez, who is the owner of the Tipping Point and Lung Lee, who is the owner of 93 Till, are working on a breakfast menu that will go with all of the coffee dishes. Chelsea, I tried to look up 93 Till on the Infatuation, and it doesn't seem to be listed. So have you been? And if so, what do you think?
So I have been, but I went a little bit prior to my starting at the Infatuation. I know that my co-writer has been to 93 Till, and I think it's just a matter of we wanted to give it a couple more visits before we reviewed it. So oftentimes if we do visit a place, we are not going to go just once and write about it. We'll usually go two or sometimes three times just to get a different idea of what's going on there. So you won't find everything on the website, but we're working ourselves to the bone trying to get there. But I'm super excited about this. I live right off West Main. So I walk by 93 Till probably every single day with my dogs in the morning. And I'm always thinking to myself, dang, it'd be really nice to get a coffee right here. So now I can do that, which I'm very much looking forward to.
Oh, see, I think that perspective is so interesting because I used to live off of Mandel for many years, and I thought, man, there's a lot of coffee in that neighborhood. I mean, at the very least, right, there's Black Hole, which has been there forever and remains kind of a neighborhood staple. But of course, if you go up to Westheimer, Blacksmith, Refuge, you know, you've got La La Kind Cafe now at Montrose Collective. I mean,
Yeah, there's Citizens of Montrose, which is right there. They do great coffee.
Right, right. Aussie Coffee.
And Campesino, which is just up WA from Blacksmith. Yeah, I know. There's a lot of coffee shops.
Paulie's, Brazil, yeah. Common Bond, Agora. The mind boggles. I mean, what does a coffee shop have to do to, I mean, with so much competition, what are you looking for from a coffee shop? What would help it crack your rotation?
Well, I think that you bring up a good point. There are a ton of coffee shops in Montrose. However, as a new resident of this sort of south corner of Montrose, there isn't a lot of coffee within walking distance. So yeah, sometimes I'll walk all the way up to Blacksmith, which, you know, that takes quite a while. Or I'll walk over Black Hole again, quite a ways, but you have to cross some pretty busy streets to get there. So I have to cross Richmond or I have to cross, Westheimer to get to those places. So it's nice that this one's sort of in the neighborhood right next to the Manille. And I think for me, a good coffee shop, I am definitely a bit of a coffee snob, which mostly just means I've been to every coffee shop in town and probably like all of them. But I think it just needs to have really good drip coffee and really good iced coffee, especially in that area, because I think most of the people who will be visiting during the morning are probably in the neighborhood walking their dogs. I mean, I see so many people out walking in the morning, and I'm sure they would love to swing in for like a cup or something iced while they're walking around. And I think good service is always key for a coffee shop. You got to make sure you're pretty quick, especially if the Manille starts sending patrons over there, it's going to get busy pretty quickly. So I think just great service, a good drip, a good iced coffee. If you can make some bomb espresso, I'll take that. But you know, if I'm in the neighborhood, just something easy to rely on is what I can appreciate.
Yeah. And I, you know, if I were better prepared, I could tell you that this space was a coffee shop many, many years ago.
Yeah, like 15, Artisans 20 years ago. Cafe, right?
Artiste.
Artiste. Yes. I'm thinking of Artisans, yes. The restaurant you talked about the other week. No, Cafe Artiste.
That's
yes.
Right.
No, yeah, the Cafe Artiste, and then it was Lowbrow, and then it was Night Heron, and now it's 93 Till, and it's gone through all these iterations as an Lowbrow did brunch, but I know that, you know, Night Heron and now 93 Till only do evening service, and I'm just like, God, I wish someone would serve a cup of coffee over here. So yeah. I'm really excited.
Yeah, and the Tipping Point had a good reputation downtown. Yeah. They had a good run, and yeah, I think this is going to be a nice pair.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do for breakfast. I know that some of the dishes at 93 Till are a bit on the heavier side, even if they're small plates. So I'm wondering, is it going to be, you know, grab and go? Because that would be excellent. It'd be nice to just like pick up a small bite of something, not that isn't a pastry, you know? Because I feel like a lot of coffee shops, you can grab something there, but it's almost always a pastry, which, you know, I won't say no to a pastry, but I would like something savory every now and then.
Yeah, something with a little protein, something to kind of kick your day off.
Yeah, or is it going to be a sit-down situation? You kind of feel like you have to stay there. So I'm going to see how they deal with balancing that. I think that'll kind of be what sets that place apart. It feels a little more casual neighborhood walk-up cafe, I think would do well there.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think maybe a balance, because I like that sit-down experience at a place like Citizens, but I do recognize that most people with real jobs, not like our jobs, but people with real jobs, nobody who has an office job thinks we have a real job. They think we're the luckiest people in the world, basically. So, but those people might have offices to get to or things to do. So yeah, they need a grab and go situation with breakfast. All right.
Yeah.
And then the very rare topic number four, and I don't want to dwell on this too much. I want to wrap this up fast, but I do think it's cool. Winfield's Chocolates, which is the evolution of what used to be called the Chocolate Bar, has a new partnership with Kroger, and they are now available in 29 Houston area stores, like all over the city. Kingwood,
that's wild.
Rosenberg. I think maybe as far away as College Station. And you know, I've been eating treats from the Chocolate Bar for many, many years. And I just think it's cool that you can get their chocolates. Like you can get their really good chocolate covered Oreos, chocolate covered Rice Krispie treats, bonbons that they all make by hand, all that stuff at Kroger's across the city. I just think it's cool.
I think it's great. I mean, I used to go to the Chocolate Bar in high school. You know, it'd be such a cool, I'd be like, oh, I'm going downtown. I'm going to the Chocolate Bar, which was just, I don't know who I was bragging to about that. But I've always really liked the Chocolate Bar. And you know, I'm not going to knock having some locally made chocolates at the grocery store. That's great.
Yeah. And there's a larger story to be told. They're making a lot more stuff in-house now. They have an expert chocolatier that they recruited from Canada. I sort of alluded to all that in the article. That's a larger story and probably a future podcast episode, honestly. But
that would be fun. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll hear from the chocolate lady. But yes, I'm glad that you're in favor of this because I do think it's cool that you can get, you can walk into a Katy Kroger and buy Winfield's bonbons and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's always nice when a local business, there's Bravado Spice that makes the hot sauce. Like they're a local company that got into Whole Foods and some other grocery stores. So it's always nice to see Houstonians doing that. That's fun.
Absolutely. All right. I'm going to say that does it for the news of the week. We'll be right back with our Restaurant of the Week. Stick around. Chelsea, for our Restaurant of the Week, I want to talk to you about Basso. This is the new Basque restaurant in the Heights. It's getting a decent amount of attention. We've nominated it for, I think, two Tastemaker Awards, one for Rising Star Chef and one for Best New Restaurant. But I haven't seen a ton of media coverage. Like I see this, like it's making its way through the Facebook food groups, and I'm seeing my friends go there on social media, all of which makes me happy. But there hasn't been a ton of coverage like on some of the other sites other than Culture Map. I know you're working on a review, obviously. That's why we sort of picked this. So talk to me about our meal at Basso. Start with kind of your first impressions when you walked into the space and started looking at the menu.
Well, I will say before I get into that, we have written up Basso on our hit list at The Infatuation. So we try to visit a lot of new restaurants as they open. And if we like them, we think they're worth their money, we'll throw them on our hit list just to tell people this is a new place you should check out. And our hit list is great because it does lead into a wider review after we've done 2 to 3 visits at least and given the place a few weeks to kind of grow into itself. And then usually we'll sort of collect our hit list ads at the end of the year and turn that into what will eventually become our best new restaurants for the year list. So Basso's currently on our hit list. So obviously we like it. And I think my first impressions with you and then also when I went before was that the decor is very minimal, very, you know, sexy dark lighting. They've got, you know, nice accoutrement tile and everything in there. It felt like if someone were to create a restaurant that looked like LA, or what they thought an LA restaurant would look like, and then put it in Houston, which is really fun. So it doesn't look like many other restaurants in Houston, which I can appreciate. It's got a little bit of a different perspective. And I like the sort of minimal, low slung vibes they have going on in there.
Yeah, it's kind of long and narrow. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the most obvious sort of design feature is the open kitchen with the chef's counter where you can watch them kind of do their thing. So
yeah, but know. I think the chef's counter is a little quieter than I expected. I feel like sometimes when you have that open kitchen, it feels super loud in the restaurant. And in there, I do think they maintain sort of this low hum of nice background noise. So that was good too.
Yeah, they're not all like shouting "Yes, chef" every 5 minutes, right? They're just kind of doing their thing.
Yeah, they're not filming an episode of The Bear back there, which is great. I appreciate that.
All right. So obviously we tried a whole bunch of stuff, and you've been once before. So what do you kind of think are the standout dishes? What should people order if they go to Basso?
I definitely think they should order the venison tartare. I love a tartare pretty much anywhere. And I like that they're using a different protein for this, which obviously sometimes venison can be a bit gamey, but I think they do a really nice job of balancing that with a little bit of acid in there and some nice crispy toasts. So I really like that one. I also love the cabbage dish that they do, which is this really soft charred cabbage with lamb bacon. There's a little bit of apple sweetness in it, and I think that kind of gives you a nice background, especially if you decide to order the shrimp, which I think both you and I agreed was our favorite dish of the night. Those shrimp on the half shell charred with just like a blanket of chili powder over top and lime. That was really excellent. And then I would have to say, I'll give it up for the pork chop there. Excellent pork chop. Perfectly cooked, nice and tender. You get a big wedge of orange to squeeze over, and then can't end a night at a Basque restaurant without a slice of the tarta de queso, which is just beautifully soft and lovely.
Yeah, I mean, that Basque cheesecake is all good things.
So good.
It is just one of those desserts that I don't think I had encountered it until they started doing it at Rosie Cannonball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now it's like anytime I see it on a menu, it's like, yes, we're getting, we may get another dessert in addition, but we're definitely getting that. Cause I
don't know. Yeah. I don't know what happened. It was like 2020 was the year of sourdough, and then everyone discovering tarta de queso was a dessert. And right. I think that has just, I think it's continued on, but it's found its rightful place at Basso, I think.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm with you on kind of the rest of the menu. You know, I thought that venison tartare, yeah, there's some sort of citrus acid component that kind of brightens mm-hmm. it up a little bit. Those spicy shrimp were a huge winner, and mm-hmm. the Vermilion Snapper, which, you know, yeah. uses that, you know, that wood burning hearth, which is really kind of the dominant, like you can't miss it when you walk into the dining room.
Yeah, no.
Cause there's just like logs and flames and smoke, and it's just, so, you know, anything that really like puts that fire to good use, I think is well done. And I mean, you didn't mention the bread service, but but that manchego that they have with the bread is really tasty. And even like the, you know, you mentioned the cabbages, but even like the little, you know, that lightly dressed kind of lettuce salad mm-hmm. and those roasted potatoes with the cheese.
Oh yeah. Cheesy potatoes. Know, always yeah. a winner.
Yeah. It's like somewhere between sort of a potatoes au gratin and like, you know, cheese fries.
Yeah, I thought it tasted like beer cheese fries, which is not an insult at all. They were delicious. No. And I kept being like, don't eat any more potatoes during our dinner in my head. But then I just kept eating them because they were delicious.
Is there anything that missed for you? Because I will admit I do have one, at least one.
Well, I thought it was interesting that you mentioned the bread service, because I do like the idea of the bread service. There, the manchego that's mixed in with that really nice whipped butter. But I don't know, maybe it's a textural thing, but I can't quite get into it. I kind of want the butter and the manchego sort of on the side with the bread. I don't know if that's I don't know if that's just me, but I love the flavor of Manchego so much. And I kind of wish there was just like maybe honey with it too. Just kind of go all in on that one. And I maybe I just want to reorient it a little bit, but I liked all the flavors. There was a quail dish that we tried, and I thought the quail was perfectly cooked. It was great. It was just a little boring. It didn't have a lot going on, you know?
Yeah, quail is such a mild kind of flavor already. It felt like it needed something more to kind of elevate it, just to kind of to lift it up a little bit. And I mean, they bacon wrap the cabbage, so don't bacon wrap the quail too. But you know, that's usually why, like, you don't see a lot of roast quail, at least not around Houston that I can think of. So yeah, that was the only one that really kind of missed for me. And then on my first visit that I went with a couple of friends, we did the caviar service. I was wondering if you had tried that.
I did not try the caviar service. I would like to now that I've heard more about it. But when I went the first time, I was trying to go through more of the menu, and I didn't want to just go all in on the caviar service, you know?
Yeah, it's an interesting preparation with their house-made caramel and the stroopwafel. So you get like a sweet and salty thing, and it's a kind of a contrast from, you know, like a more traditional, like a potato or a pasta or no, not pasta, but
like a blini.
Yeah, like a blini. Yeah. Yeah, like at Postscript, you can get, you know, a caviar donut, which is also kind of trading on that sweet and salty thing that I think is kind of an interesting idea. Mm-hmm. So I think that was a fun contrast. And it's splurgy. I mean, I want to say it's $100 or maybe even a little more. So it's kind of that special occasion decision, but I did enjoy it the one time I tried it. And you know, people who listen to our date night draft know that was Justin Yu's cold appetizer on his date night. So
yeah, he was, when I was listening to that episode and he was describing it, I was like, dang, I really should have gotten that caviar stroopwafel thing. So now I gotta go back and try that. I'm not usually one for, I'll try caviar service sometimes. I think it depends on sort of the perspective of the research that I'm doing at that given restaurant, but definitely at Basso, I was like, I just want to get through this whole menu. So,
Right. Like, yeah. At Little's Oyster Bar, you got to get the caviar. It's such a big part of what they do, but
yeah,
other places, maybe not so much.
Mm-hmm.
Your final thoughts, like, you know, service, wine list, overall experience. I was very impressed by all of that. I like the wine list. I think, you know, we sort of put the psalm through our paces and we're like, oh, you know, give me something that's a little different. She's like, oh, I've got this cool, like, orange wine that we're doing right now that I thought was like bright and fresh and really enjoyed, especially with the snapper. So I appreciated that.
Yeah, I think the cocktail list is great. I've tried 4 or 5 cocktails from Basso, just mine and tasting other friends, and they're excellent. Really balanced, and I think go really well with the food. They don't clash with the food, which is really nice. I think really good support there. And the same with the wine list. I mean, it's a lot of natural wine, some Basque wine, Spanish wine, lots of bright acidics, and some funkier things, which I think, especially with that, the smoky aspect of some of the food really balances out really nicely. So I think all around impressed with where they're going with the menu. And I think the service is good. It's not too intrusive, but the servers seem to know the menu well enough to talk to you about it. I think that they did a great job keeping our table and our table the time we went and the time I was there before, you know, nice and tidy and giving me good recommendations. So I think it's great.
Yeah. And we should say you may try to dine semi-anonymously as much as you can. I am the least anonymous diner in Houston. I interviewed the owners before the restaurant opened. They, you know, as soon as I walked in the door, it was, hi, Eric. And Chelsea's sitting down in the dining room. She's waiting for you. So, however much that affects the experience, I sort of feel compelled to acknowledge it. But you know, the standard for restaurants on this podcast is would you go back?
I would definitely go back. I would love to go back there. I think it would be a really great date night. I think any special occasion would be super fun there. Any kind of maybe like you're on a third date with somebody and you're like, yeah, this is going great. And take them there. Any kind of anniversary, or even if you like a more low key birthday, I think that would be great. Or if you're just really into seafood, you can do pretty well there.
Yeah, I think I would agree with all of that. I still haven't had you mentioned the pork chop. I haven't had a chance to try that yet. They do big ribeyes on that wood grill that I really want to try. And yeah, I think I've been very pleased. You know, I liked my first meal at the restaurant at the very end of December, maybe the week they opened. And then I thought it was so much better on our visit, that the menu was more focused. The dishes had obviously been tweaked a little bit. It's like those guys are evolving really fast. And I just think
I agree. Like, yeah.
I really think like it's going to get better and better. And this is kind of the early, I mean, we've got a lot of great restaurants that are going to open in this town in 2024, but this is the early favorite for best new restaurant, in my opinion.
I think so. The first time that I dined there, I had a lot of dishes that you and I shared as well. And I liked all of them. I could see that they really were kind of getting things together. The service was great that night too. The wine list and the cocktails were all excellent that night. The food definitely needed a little bit more detail, a little more attention. And so I was so glad that I had that second experience with you, because I could tell that they really were sort of tightening the screws in all the right places and adding little touches here and there. And it felt more dialed in. And I was glad that I was able to go. I'm able to go multiple times to restaurants. I could really check out that progression, especially for a new place.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I think that does it for the restaurant of the week. Chelsea Thomas, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Eric. It was great.
That's it for today's show. Thank you so much for listening. Join me on Thursday when my guests will be Julia Cheraby and David Grossman from Fusion Eats.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.